welcome back to Senior Perspectives, a show by and about elders living here on our beautiful Northern California coast. Senior Perspectives is brought to you by Redwood Coast Senior Center, just around the corner and up the block from the studios here. Be sure and drop by, have lunch, visit us. If you need support or help for anything, if you're just looking to make a good connection and want to have a good time, come on up to the Senior Center and keep company with us. And of course, we're here in the studios of Mendocino Coast Television, who is our sponsor and benefactor and makes this whole show possible, which leads me to a really interesting show, because our guest today is Barbara Foote, who works here at Mendocino Coast Television, is a volunteer and part of the crew that produces this show. And isn't it interesting being over here on this side of the camera?
You better believe it.
What do you think?
Well, in fact, I'm normally camera number one, which happens to be that one over
right
there.
Right over there, right.
That happens to be the one that I'm behind, so now I'm in front of it.
It is
fascinating. And look at this, I even got dressed
oh my
for
gosh,
the part today.
It's just wonderful to have you here. And obviously, I think the place I want to start off is two-sided. How did you end up on the North Coast, and how did you end up doing TV?
Well, do you want to hear a really romantic story?
Oh, my favorite kind, my favorite kind.
Way back when, I had a friend named Barbara Chapman, and she said, let's go up and visit my friend Beth in Mendocino.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And this, you were living?
It, down in San Francisco.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so she and I came up and we stayed over the Memorial Day weekend that year.
Uh-huh.
And we're having this drunken party at Beth's house. Some other friends had come over.
North Coast tradition.
And Beth says, oh, I hear a car in the driveway. That must be Bill, my landlord. I'd better invite him up. You know, if we're having this
party. We're going to have a party. The least you can do is invent the landlord.
So Bill comes up, and that was the first time I met him. Now, this is Bill Foote.
Love at first sight?
Not quite, because, you know, he got a little more interested in me than I did in him at the moment. We stayed during the week, and he had to go down into the city. But on the following weekend, he comes up, and he invites us downstairs for an Irish coffee.
Okay.
And he says, can I see you back in the city? And I kind of go,
do I really want to do this?
Maybe, yeah. So I gave him my work phone number, not my home phone number.
Yeah.
And we did get around to seeing each other, and you've heard the... the way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
Right.
It works the other way around. He would show up at my place with chicken in one hand and Grand Marnier in the other, or steak in one hand and Drambuie in the other. And to give you a time frame here, we met on Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He proposed on 4th of July weekend. We got married on Labor Day weekend.
Wow, I thought you were going to say that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
A whirlwind summer romance.
Yeah, and we came up for 30 years from the city. He eventually retired up here. He was older than I was.
Yeah.
And then I got a job farther north in Petaluma, so the commute on the weekends wasn't so bad. And I eventually came up to take care of him, and he passed away about 5 years ago.
Okay. And then a new phase of life, and as a part of that new phase of life, television.
Yeah, that was kind of a surprise to me.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And so here we are, making TV together.
That's right.
Yay.
That's right. And I do their scheduling.
Right.
So, you know, I know what's going to be going on Wednesday, Thursday, and out into the week.
And then run a camera and work on the crew here and produce our TV show.
Yep.
Which is, we just passed the 35 shows mark. So we kind of feel like we had a meeting today and we kind of felt like old professionals. Barbara, when did you come to the North Coast and how and why? Tell me a little bit about your story.
I came up with a friend of mine for a vacation, and she said, I have a friend named Beth who lives in Mendocino. Let's go visit her.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we came up. That night, we're having a drunken party at Beth's place, and she hears a car drive in, and she goes, uh-oh, that's the landlord. I'd better call him. He's going to be staying downstairs. That was, you know, his cabin, and she was renting the upstairs. And then he came on weekends, and he was downstairs.
So she and warn him that there was
and warn him that
some
there was
festivities
this party.
About.
Yeah, and why doesn't he come to the party? So she invites him up, and this was Bill Foote. And the following
not week, at that time a relation.
Not at that time a relation. And the following week, we did this over Memorial Day weekend, okay, and we stayed for the week. At the end of the week, he invited us downstairs for Irish coffees and said, gee, can I see you back in the city? Well, okay, sure, fine, maybe. And what happened was, well, we kept on seeing each other.
So that vacation friendship
blossomed.
Grew.
Well, to give you a clue of the time frame.
Yeah.
That was Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
He proposed on July 4th weekend. We got married on Labor Day weekend of that year, 1975.
Oh my gosh.
And we continued to come up to Mendocino just on weekends. And for 30 years,
wow.
He was older than I was. When I married him, I was 26, he was 52, exactly twice my age. He retired before I did, and he stayed up here permanently, but I kept a job down in the city.
So you were commuting.
So I was commuting. I got a little bit closer. I had a job finally, not in San Francisco or South Bay, but farther up and could come more often. And unfortunately, 5 years ago, he passed away at Christmas time. So that's kind of it. But I always thought that was kind of a
what a wonderful romantic
story.
What a delight. So it was. Maybe not love at first sight, but at second or third,
yeah.
It must have been love blooming for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a wonderful tale. What were you, how were you, I mean, you weren't supporting yourself making TV, obviously.
No.
So you must have some other incarnation that we don't exactly know about. What was it?
I was a computer programmer.
Were you really?
In the, you know, the COBOL stuff with the big mainframes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And I worked for places like AAA.
Wow.
ONC Trucking, you see their trucks.
And those big old mainframes.
Yeah,
and
right. And moved on to Memorex.
Yeah.
Then Ampex.
Oh my gosh.
And now Ampex is what I find really interesting. Here I am doing their general ledger, et cetera, et cetera. And they're the ones who made all this possible.
Like literally, they were the recording studio giant, and produced much of the equipment that we used, and
yeah.
They were the greatest tape manufacturer
in the
country. Isn't that intriguing?
Yeah.
And at that time,
I had no interest in it whatsoever.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Tell me about. I'm always in awe of those early kind of machine language, root language programmers. It just always seemed like such an ungodly, esoteric thing to master. Difficult. I mean, really difficult,
well,
I think.
Well, COBOL is more English-like.
Yeah.
In school, I learned a little bit of the assembler, which is what you're talking about. But mostly, I stuck with things that were more, you know, sentence-like.
In that time, unusual for a woman to or was that by
it
that
was
time
just,
were things opening up?
It
then?
Was just opening up about then, yeah, and getting more people into it.
Sometimes I think that computer programming was one of the wedges that began to really integrate the technical workplace, and now it is in fact totally integrated. But that was one of the places. Engineering was not a very friendly world, but programming was a way in, and things began to change.
And what's really interesting is you had to be more language-oriented than math-oriented.
Right.
People always used to say, oh, wow, you must be really good at math. I go, yeah, I can add, I can subtract, I can multiply, and I can divide.
It is interesting that it's rather more like parsing a difficult sentence than it is solving an equation.
Right, and you were usually doing if then else to get if it's this you want to do that, if it's something else you want to do that.
It's always charming to me, and even still, although it's buried, I think more levels deeper now, but computer programming, computers don't actually do very much themselves in a certain sense, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the way you address a computer is with a very rudimentary instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And they do them so fast that they're able to... Do you ever wonder whether God's a computer programmer and this is kind of a... When my computer days, that was something I thought about all the time, was is this all a computer program, and are we on some big screen, or do you ever think about those kind of things?
I don't think it's quite my vision of God, yeah. You know?
So you saw Mendocino as a kind of constant, regular visitor, mm-hmm. which is a different way to see it than living here full time. Do you think in some ways you were maybe even more aware of the changes that were going on because you came and went a lot?
In some ways, yes, in some ways, no, because I never got really involved. It was kind of like in the community,
yeah.
And so therefore I knew who Bill Zacha was, I knew who, you know, Hilda Pertha was, I knew who all these people that were surrounding
right.
the area, but I may meet them, and I may meet them only once.
Exactly.
And I didn't really know
sure.
them.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know the culture.
At the surface, could you see the changes in
oh,
the,
yeah.
and the phases and stages that
oh,
they
yeah.
went through? How would you describe what you saw happen over a period of 30 years?
Wow, that's hard to say. Because I don't think I ever saw it as a continuous thing.
Right.
You know, once you look back on it, you can say, oh, I see that there was an era here of this, and, you know, oh, remember back when we did that, but going through it,
not
at all.
Yeah. I think if you came and went, mm-hmm. you probably came to a certain specific house and a place mm-hmm. and related to that, and that didn't change.
That's
right.
That
was probably the great stability in
yeah.
a sense.
And I joined the Mendocino Presbyterian Church because I was going to be here every other week or
right.
at least. So I might as well, if I was going to join a church, why I could
you were
be here
on my weekends as
often
much as possible.
As elsewise.
And it's a magnificent church, isn't it? I mean, it's physically magnificent, and it also has been a sustaining spiritual community mm-hmm. here for decades and decades and decades.
And what I love about it now, before I couldn't sing in the choir because they had choir practice on Thursday
and
wasn't here on
here
Thursday
it.
And so on and so forth. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I just couldn't
right,
do. I had
right.
to give it up.
You were kind of more a spectator than,
yes,
than a full-on participant.
Right.
And now, are you fully engaged?
Oh, yeah. Now I'm in the choir and I'm a docent over the summer.
Wow.
And I just came from putting their sermon on the web. I'm kind of into that.
So you're
yeah.
all engaged. With,
yeah.
Yeah. Choir, singing in that choir, that's a little bit different than you go, well, I sing in my church's choir. That's a serious choir, isn't it?
Well,
I mean, not serious like, but,
yeah,
but
right.
it's a pretty high-class musical ensemble, I think, don't you?
I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
A lot of people kind of turn up their noses at it. Oh, well, you know, whatever. It's a church choir, you know. It's just a church choir.
Yeah.
But wow, you know,
what a church choir.
They will tackle anything.
Yeah.
They will just tackle anything. You hand them a piece of music and they will just read through it. They won't do it well. We won't do it well. Why am I saying they?
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you
but
when we really get it
and,
yeah and when
and
we get it done it's great
master it and get there
great
yeah. Have you is music always been a part of your life or is this a new fairly
no
new
pretty
thing?
Much in fact one of I used to teach guitar because nobody else was around to play with me so I wanted to teach all my friends how to play so we could all play together. I wound up teaching for Yamaha for a while.
Oh my gosh, that are you a pretty good, you must be a
well,
pretty
at
good
that
guitar
point,
player.
Well, folk guitar,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I haven't touched it for so many years
You're
now.
You're kidding,
yeah,
you stopped.
I just kind of didn't do it while I was married and then I haven't picked it up again.
Yeah.
But I have sung in choirs, lots of choirs. And I was in a choir in down the peninsula, Foothill College, for many, many years. And they did all kinds of things.
That's a pretty intense choir, too. I lived down there for a while, and I know that ensemble for sure. They're really something.
Yeah, and I sang with their chamber singers and with their Renaissance group, and we toured around the wine country.
And pretty serious singer.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And yet, I haven't gotten into really a lot up here outside
of the outside
Gloriana.
Of the church,
the Gloriana Carolers.
Ah, okay.
We came here to the studio.
Oh, did you?
And did a
and performed here and recorded and
no,
performed.
This was when they had
now
just moved in here, and we came at Christmas time and did a set for the folks here.
Yeah. So, you're doing TV.
Mm-hmm.
You're singing.
Mm-hmm.
other secrets that we want to know? What else is important in your life? Or what else has been important that you've left behind, and how did that turn out?
That's kind of interesting question. I've always been interested in my alternate resume.
Uh-huh.
You know, the one that you don't go out and make a living at.
Exactly.
And it kind
of, which maybe is where a lot of the real riches, not the money riches, but the real riches are.
Right.
So what's on your alternate resume?
Well, one of the things, I danced on the stage of the old Fox Theater in San Francisco.
Did you really?
I was about 6 or 7 years old, and they had some kind of a I was taking tap dance.
Tap dancing, yeah.
And they had a show, and that was where we did our thing. And,
that's amazing.
And so that was real history.
Yeah, yeah. Did your dance career unfold?
No, I used to stare at my feet while I was, you know, doing the tap dancing. It was never... I never looked up.
Yeah, gotcha.
What else? Oh, the teaching at Yamaha. I found that to be, you know, kind of interesting.
And when you say teaching at Yamaha, meaning?
Yamaha does musical instruments, including guitars. And I had a guitar teacher who needed a teacher to fill out for, I was like a substitute for someone else. And they had a course, you followed the course, and you taught beginning guitar to people. So that was fun. I also sang on stage with Rosemary Clooney.
How did that happen?
That was because of the Foothill College.
Right.
And we were the choir that backed her up, basically.
Wow.
So that was fun.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you live now? I mean, what part of the, where do you live on the coast here?
In Mendocino, up Little Lake Road.
Oh, yeah. Up in the woods?
Up in the woods.
Yay. That's got to be one of the most beautiful places in the world, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I just always thought that having a little house in the woods above Mendocino was just about as charming as it could possibly get.
I love it when it's spring and you have the rhododendron.
Ugh.
Because they grow up to the height of the deck.
Right.
You know, and you can just sit
just
out there on your deck and you're
kind of
surrounded by it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about what has the process of aging been like for you, and what changes are you experiencing, have you experienced? Do you relate more to people who are older now than you did before?
You know, I'm not sure I do.
Yeah.
Because when I was like 3 and 4 and 5 years old, my grandmother was raising me, basically.
Right.
I mean, my mother was a single mom and she had to go to work. And so I was with my grandmother a lot and she took me to the ladies' aid meetings at the church. And they were all grandmother, you know, types. And so I was a grandmother at 5 years old.
There've always been platinum blondes in your head.
Platinum blondes, yes. Of course.
I like that you told me about that. I feel I feel much better being a platinum blonde now than a gray-haired old guy. Has church, it comes up.
Uh-huh.
Has that been one of the anchors of your life?
Yes. Started out Lutheran when my grandmother was not there. My mother kind of, she couldn't get to a church that was far away, which was kind of where the Lutheran church was that we'd been going to.
Right.
So we went to whatever was close. So I've been to Methodist and Presbyterian and Episcopal and who knows what else, you know, the whole gamut.
Right.
And then I kind of went back into the Lutheran church, became confirmed there, and that was like my home church for many, many years. Got married, moved down the peninsula, wound up in a Presbyterian church down there that by chance happened to be one that came up here to this one in Mendocino and helped them build the Christian camp out.
Really? Oh, yeah.
In the woods somewhere.
Right.
I never knew what they were quite doing. But that, yeah.
Yeah. Does, I haven't had a chance to explore this territory very much, and if it's okay, I want to explore it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, do you see, for instance, at the Presbyterian Church here locally, are as many younger families, do you still see this being vital in the younger families? Do you think there's a change happening?
Well, it's become an aging population at the
church.
The
whole community, of course, is aging.
And what's happened really is that, you know, most of the younger people grow up and have to make a living, and they go
and
out
they
of
move
the
away.
Area. Yeah, and that's happened in other churches I've been in as well. So right now, no, we're not getting a whole lot of younger people in.
Yeah. I read a fascinating thing just a couple nights ago. There was one of the lead news stories underneath the big news was that I think the Pew Foundation, which does wonderful social science research, they did a bunch of research and they did a questionnaire that had a whole lot of questions about just basic religious knowledge of both Christianity and other traditions and so on. And what they found was that people who said they were either atheistic or agnostic scored way higher in their religious knowledge than people who said they were definitely connected with the church. And I was floored by that. I just went, that's a puzzle. Now, you're someone who has been connected with an organized churches mm-hmm. and church. What do you think about that? Isn't that a bizarre?
I saw the beginning of that article. I didn't read it all the way through. I had to put it down before I finished it. I'm going to go home and finish it.
What do you make of that?
Yeah, I found that surprising and very strange.
Definitely strange. Yeah. Somebody, I think I shared that with somebody, and they kind of laughed and they said, well, maybe that's why they're agnostic and atheistic. Mm. And I thought, I don't think so. I think there's a deeper thing going on than that.
Well, I think I'd gotten to the part where it kind of said that the Catholics didn't know certain things that were a part
outside
of
their own.
No, that were within their own.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Jewish community didn't know, you know, people didn't know
Isn't
things that were within
their
own.
They knew more, they had more outside.
I don't know if they had more outside, but they just didn't know the stuff.
Know their own
I think
traditions.
It's you're too close to it.
That could be.
You take it just as, oh, well, that's the way it is.
Right.
Why would I have to even
And you
think
don't
about
need
it?
To, you really don't need to be analytical about it or in that sense.
Yeah.
Do you think as you get older, does your religion become more important to you? And does it give you a perspective on growing older, do you think?
That's interesting because it's always just been with me.
Uh-huh.
And it's always been there. And it's like I don't even question it.
Right.
And
right.
So it's like...
It's kind of like
it's
breathing.
It's like breathing.
And eating.
Yeah, you don't think about breathing.
Yep. Is it okay if we explore this a little bit? This is such a fascinating territory. Most people don't talk very much to me about this, and I love talking about it. As you grew up inside your church, did you learn to pray as a natural approach to life and to be guided by a set of principles? Is it working and alive in your life, I guess, is really the question I'm asking.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I know that a lot of people, I set forth, you know, this much time for prayer and meditation at this time of the day, blah, blah,
in
blah.
In a very formal way.
In a very formal way, and not with me. It comes and it goes, and I'll see someone who is really looks like they're in pain, and I don't know this person.
Right.
And I'll just say, oh, Lord, take care of them. Do something
for them.
So
it's an automatic gesture.
Yeah.
Right, right.
It's not quite that formal.
Do you think prayer helps healing?
Amen.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
I kind of think that too. It's interesting to me that I have that spontaneous desire to just say a little prayer, or if I know somebody's not feeling well or going into surgery or something like that, I always go, I'll say a prayer for you, and I do. I remember to actually say a prayer. I don't know why or how, but it seems like it's a good thing to do. It seems like it's a proper, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I don't have any big, deep belief that it works like this, but it just seems like a proper thing to do when somebody's having a hard time to say a prayer for them. It's an interesting thing.
Yeah. We have a formal thing during the service, you know, where are there any people who need prayer or concerns or whatever, you know, and whatnot, and people will stand up and ask for prayers. And then, you know, 3, 5, 10 weeks later, they'll stand up and say, wow, am I glad you were all praying for my brother because, you know, he's doing great. He's, you know, turned around and he's no longer, so on and so forth. And there are times when I go, yes, because I was really thinking of this person.
Yeah.
And there are times when I'm going, oh, I forgot all about that person. Yeah, I'm sure glad someone else picked up the action
when it was needed. Here's a different question for you. Do you have any big undones in your life that you still want to go, you know, before I finish up, I want to, any of those, any dreams that you still kind of nourish and hold?
Traveling, except I don't have a specific place that I absolutely have to go and see now. Uh-huh. But there are a lot of places in the United States I've never been. I grew up, my mother did not have a car. We uh-huh. lived in San Francisco. You got around on the Muni bus service,
sure.
and that was it for 26 years.
Exactly.
You know, and then I all of a sudden, oh my goodness, I think I'm going to need a car here, you know.
Yeah.
And so I kind of felt like I got gypped out of going, all my friends, you know, they had cars and they'd go down to Monterey or they'd go up to Mendocino.
At least travel a little
at
ways.
At least a little yeah. ways, you know, yeah. and I just never got any of it.
That's
so
interesting.
You were
a real city person.
Yeah, so I've been really going out there. And
so do you travel now some?
Yeah, I just got back from Clear Lake and earlier this year I went up to Birch Bay, Washington, which is way up near the Canadian border. In fact, the friend and I who I went with, we went over into Canada to uh-huh. Vancouver.
Uh-huh. So. Are you an outdoors person?
Mm.
Not really.
Yeah.
No.
Not really.
I like camping.
I like walking and that,
yeah.
but not real hiking.
Yeah.
And I've never done much camping, so.
Do you, I like what you say about traveling around the United States. I'm in the same boat. I live in the United States, but the truth is I don't live in 49 of the mm-hmm. other states,
right.
hardly at all. What would be your two or three top trips? If you could make dream trips to places or around parts of the United States, where would you go?
Well, I'd go back to Boston in a cold minute. I really liked Boston. And the next time I go, say, to England or France or wherever, I'm going to make sure that the airplane stops in Boston. I can get off and spend a few days and
yeah.
then go on.
Yeah. yeah. So Boston was magical.
Boston was magical. I'm not sure I have any place that I specifically, you know, I've always wanted to go to that I haven't been there yet.
Uh-huh. I always think that yeah. it would be fun to visit, to travel through the South, which is, mm-hmm. Of all the places in the United States, I think just because of our history, mm-hmm. The South is mysterious and exotic and strange and maybe a little scary. Do you
yeah.
have that, those of us who've grown up on the West Coast
yeah.
and as Northerners, do you have
yeah.
that, those feelings a
yeah,
little bit?
Yeah, a little
would
bit.
Would you like to go check it out?
I would like to go, yeah, and I'd if I was going to start, I would like to start with New Orleans.
Oh,
you know.
That's the one place in the South I have been and before, you know, before the hurricane. That would be grand. It was we had a glorious few days in New Orleans. It was really wonderful. Snakes and swamps. When I was a kid, I grew up with snakes and swamps in my mind, and always I always wanted to go and see real swamps and real snakes and alligators and all that kind of stuff. And I got to, and it was really something.
Mm.
Yeah. So you've secrets like that, snakes and swamps up on your list or anything like that?
Definitely not snakes.
You don't want to go where there's
not
snakes
really.
And stuff. Yeah. What do you see in your next 5 years here in this community, and what do you think is going to happen to us here? What's going to change?
Mm.
You know, we're coming out the other end of timber and fish and all of that kind of stuff, which I believe will come back at some stage. But in the meantime, something else going to happen?
Yeah, well, obviously we're aging.
Yeah,
so something,
as a community we are,
as a community, and so somewhere along the route, I think they're going to address more, you know, senior.
You expect to see a senior housing community or something
yeah,
of that sort out
yeah,
on,
that,
the,
that
out on the old mill, the mill site?
That,
seems
that's
like
a
natural, doesn't it?
It does.
There? Yeah.
Yeah, it does. I agree.
Yeah. I wonder if something will happen that will make jobs for our children again. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Oh, that would be
I
lovely.
I think that's the hardest thing here.
Well, you know, with the internet stuff, they really ought to be able to make a living, you know, doing internet
so,
type programming
yeah.
and internet type
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
And somehow there's a lot of it out there, but there doesn't ever seem to be any, it's all individual.
Yeah.
You
we
know,
really haven't grabbed that
nobody's
action
really
yet.
Gotten it yeah. organized somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Barbara, we're just about out of time, so we're going to have to kind of wrap it up. Thank you so much for climbing out from behind your camera and crawling over here on this side. And that's it for tonight. Let's just say goodnight to all of our friends out there in the North Coast. And thanks for joining Senior Perspectives once again. Good night, all.